In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it feels like an awful lot has changed since we were last together last week. Last week, I stood up here and joyfully pointed to Dan Tapper and mentioned that the Red Sox were on a tear. Yeah, they're on a tear all right at this point, 6 games in a row losing. Last week, I stood up here, and it was just good to be together, and it is still good to be together, but we gather on the far side of 3 mass shootings in 1 week, of 2 mass shootings in like 24 hours between El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. 19-year-old shooter and a 21-year-old shooter, it feels like the world has changed. And if we're honest about it, as we listen to the gospel today, Jesus talking about riches and about sudden death and God looking at somebody and saying, "You fool," it sure feels like we're a long way from the gospel reading of last week where Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, last week was this nice connection with God, a time where God in Jesus was inviting us to remember that we are in a relationship with God and to seek that relationship and to put our time into that relationship. And this week we gather with the world seeming upside down and with Jesus speaking words of judgment. But I tell you the truth, the words of Jesus today are, just like last week, words of practical invitation to you and to me. And they're still based on this basic idea of a relationship. And what Jesus is talking about today as we gather is that in a relationship we need to trust and value the person we seek to be in relationship with. Just like last week we were invited to pray and have conversations with that person, this week I believe Jesus is inviting us to trust and to value God. I want you to listen to the story today again. And listen in a new way. Yeah, it all starts with a story we know far too well. Siblings fighting. This is a real life story, is it not? Siblings who are fighting, who are disagreeing. At this point, it's on the other side of death, right? A father, a mother have died. There's an estate that's left over. And in case you didn't know, this kind of stuff still happens today. People fighting about how it's going to be divided, how to listen to the will. Anger and resentment show up. People try to pull other authorities into the stew, trying to prove their point to get what they want. This is real life. It's real humanity. And Jesus reminds us, right in the midst of that real life, that when we start valuing and trusting in the wrong sort of things, we can end up with things falling apart, right? We can end up kind of up a creek without a paddle. And that's sort of the story Jesus tells immediately after this encounter with this man who wants things to go differently with the inheritance. He tells us about a rich man, a man who has worked hard, no doubt, a man who has done many wise things, who has accumulated great wealth. And Jesus doesn't condemn that wealth in this story. What he condemns is that this man actually has the audacity to believe that stuff is going to make things okay. He actually believes that his big retirement account, his nice house, and his big garages are going to mean he can sit back, relax, and say, "Eat, drink, and be merry. Soul, it is all good." Of course, money doesn't do that, does it? We watched that this past week, didn't we, with the Kennedy family. A young woman in so much psychic pain who lived in the midst of what some Americans used to call Camelot, who took her own life because money doesn't fix it. Jesus tells us that valuing and trusting the wrong things can lead us into bad places. And you know, Colossians makes a similar point this morning. If we really listen to this letter and we get beyond all the phrases and all the words that just kind of feel like a barrage at us. In this letter, what we are being told is to set our minds, our hope, our trust on things that are above, that is, on God, not on things below. Colossians goes on to give us a term for what happens when we value and trust in the wrong kind of things. Things that aren't going to take care of us, like those big barns and all that grain and all that money. And the term is idolatry. Now, I admit we don't usually walk around talking about idolatry very much these days. You don't hear many fire and brimstone sermons from me talking about getting rid of your little carved gods at home. I can't remember the last time I did that. Southern Baptists might do that, but I don't tend to do that, right? But see, if we think idolatry is really about little carved deities, we're totally missing the point. What Jesus, what Colossians believes idolatry is trusting things that aren't God. Giving ourselves to things that aren't going to connect us with life, with hope, with forgiveness, with grace. And that kind of idolatry, we certainly live in the midst of these days, right? Because just like folks in Jesus' time, just like well before Jesus' time, human beings get confused. And we start thinking other things will fix it. Other things will make us joyful. Other things will give us meaning. Colossians gives us a laundry list this morning of different things that serve as special idols. Right? It starts, of course, because he's talking to human beings with sex, fornication, and impurity, believing that those sexual realities are going to bring you to complete fullness and everything will be all right. Nope. Then he moves on, passions, believing that just living a life in Margaritaville with Jimmy Buffett and just feeling good all the time, that that's going to make everything all right. Nope. And Colossians moves on. Evil desires. How about those things that you want, which you know you shouldn't want, and things that hurt other people or hurt yourself or just separate you from others. They may seem attractive. They may seem great. But in the end, you just find yourself more broken, or you find somebody else more broken. And then Colossians moves on to greed. Greed for things, thinking that things will take care of it. Money, status, power, respect, maybe that a winning baseball team, you know. Greed is dangerous because it's trusting in those things to bring fullness, to bring peace. Colossians goes on and on talking about these different potential idols, this idolatry, these places where we misplace our trust. And we misplace our value. And Colossians makes the point that when we do that, when we trust in other sources for all that we need, bad things happen. Anger, wrath, hatred, and desire to harm others, slander, abusive language start flowing from us. You can see by the fruit of these things that nothing good has come. I think there is no question that in the mass shootings that we have seen recently, we see exactly that, don't we? We see the fruit of placing our hope and our trust in things that will not bring us life. Friends, idolatry is no minor thing. It doesn't just hurt our souls, but as we can see as a nation, it hurts the very fabric of society. Today, there are hundreds of people standing in the midst of grief and brokenness because people have put their trust and their hope in things that are not God. Needless to say, we could add to Colossians' list of all kinds of different potential modern-day things that we trust in. But we don't need to do that. I think Colossians has given us enough pointed language. Here's the point of all of this. When I give myself, my time, my energy, my thoughts to that which is not God, that which is not the source of life and love, things fall apart. God's way, however, the way of love, of peace, of hope and grace, God's way of forgiveness, breaks down that brokenness, that pain, that darkness within our world. In God, in Christ, barriers, anger, mistrust, greed, and the disorders of our being is dissolved. And division begins to cease. We are no longer Greek or Scythian. We're no longer slave or free, no longer male or free female, but Christ. Christ is all in all. So today, in the midst of a world that is filled with so much confusion and so much darkness, I'm convinced Jesus is asking us to do something pretty simple today, just like he asked us to do something pretty simple last week. Last week it was to talk and to seek and to be in relationship with God. And this week Jesus wants us to actually ask a simple question. Where are you placing your time and your value and your trust? Look at your life. Look at your calendar. Look at your checkbook. What do you trust in? There are lots of good things out there, good things for us to give ourselves to. But where are you truly hoping and trusting? Where is your confidence? And of course, Jesus' invitation to you and to me is to remember that our confidence is to be in God. God alone, not our politics, not our power, not our strength or our race or our reputation or our family or our career, but in God. No one else is God. Only God is God. So today, Jesus asks us to keep the main thing, and to ask ourselves, who do we trust? Amen.